Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Roger.
It's good to be with you, one or two, or a few more, I recognize from previous times in the area, so it's good to see you again, and it's good to be able to share this evening. What I'm going to do in a minute, if we could, I'm going to take you through a very brief overview of our subject, the church and older people. If I tell you that I take this subject at several theological colleges, and it takes me anything up to 3.5 hours, you will see that I'm precising things a little bit this evening. So we're going to begin with that. So we're going to be looking at the church and older people. And we were reading in Galatians chapter 6, and Galatians chapter 6 is a very important passage. It first of all helps us to determine the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian, which isn't part of my talk tonight, but seeing I don't know some of you, my first interest in life is to show men to Christ. And you can tell the difference between a believer and a non-believer, because a believer or a non-believer is someone who sows to his sinful nature. In other words, who follows his own way of life, who doesn't follow the ways of God, who doesn't follow the law of God or the word of God. He sows to his human nature. And Paul says, such a person will reap destruction. That's the Bible's teaching about those who aren't Christians. Christians are different, and they're different simply in this, that they sow to please the Spirit, because the Spirit of God dwells in them, and so they sow to live that life which pleases God. And they reap eternal life. Now, one of the manifestations of being a Christian is this verse that occurs in verse 10 that you can read up there. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. And so what I want to do, first of all, is just contrast two views of old age. Because actually, most people in our society don't quite know what to make of old age. As someone put it, everybody wants to live as long as possible, but nobody wants to be old. And the reason for that is that people don't understand what old age is meant to be about. So there are two views of old age. There is the secular view. And the secular view is basically as simple as that. If you buy books on gerontology and old age, you will find that the secular view is they don't understand what old age is about. It's a time with no meaning. Basically, it's a time of waiting for death. In fact, it's viewed as a time of taking. It's when people are unproductive. It's when people make demands. So, some of you will remember just a few years ago that there was a great deal of fuss of what was called the pensions time bomb. Exactly, it was only a time bomb because of government mismanagement of funds. But the problem was they recognized there were going to be a lot more older people in society than there are now. And that's going to be the fact. the statistic. I haven't brought the full statistics, but the basic statistics are that within 15 to 20 years, one in five people will be over 70. Of the people in this room, this will really cheer you up. Of the people in this room, one in five of you will live to be 100. One or two looks like you're getting pretty near, actually. Hopefully you'll wake up before the year's over. A baby born now. One in three babies born now will live to be 100. So we're living in an aging society. Within the church, the estimate is that at the moment about 45% of those who attend and are active participants in church life are over 70. Within 20 years, that figure will rise to between 55 and 60%. So we have to recognize that older people are there. And they're not necessarily a problem. Although, you see, the secular view sees old age as a wasteland experience. And in fact, as a time of decline. And so the view of old age is basically like this. When you're young, you start to grow, you develop, and you become more and more competent in all sorts of areas until you reach an age where you achieve your potential, or hopefully you achieve your potential, at which point you plateau. And you stay on that plateau for who knows how long. 10, maybe 15 years, depends on all sorts of issues. And then you start to go downhill. And that's how people view old age. It's that time when you've achieved your potential and now, and don't we say it about people? Oh, well, it's all downhill now. In fact, when you get to be 65, you can guarantee that somebody will send you a card. And on it, it will say, it's all downhill now. Well, that's the secular, that's the world's view. What's the Bible's view? Well, the Bible's view is very interesting. I have with me three articles that I wrote that I'm going to just leave behind. And if anybody wants a copy, well, if you talk to whoever owns the photocopier, or if you have access to a photocopier, these are masters, and you can do what you want with them. But what the Bible teaches is three great truths. And I can't develop this because of the time factor. But first of all, it teaches us that old age is a blessing from God. And you will find that the Old Testament in particular teaches that. But the Apostle Paul teaches that. He's writing to a guy called Philemon. He wants to persuade him to do something. And he says this. I'll paraphrase what he says. He says, I could insist on it. Because I'm Paul, the old man. Because you see, in the biblical society, old age is a position of dignity and of importance when you should be respected and regarded with honor. It's not it's not that view that you get, for instance, in One Foot in the Grave, the miserable old so-and-so who never sees anything positive. There are old people like that. But that's not the Bible's view. Old age is a blessing from God. Doesn't mean to say it doesn't come with problems. It comes with many problems. So Paul can write in 2 Corinthians 4, outwardly we're wearing away. But you see, the Bible teaches that inwardly we keep growing and developing. So old age is a time when you're coming to your greatest, to your fruition. The path of the just grows brighter unto the perfect day. So this is the Bible's view. It's a blessing from God. It's to be a period of growth. And in your later years is a time to grow in all sorts of ways, to develop in all sorts of areas of life. And it's also to be a time of a particular religious and ethical witness and testimony. In other words, in old age, you have something to say. Psalm 71 teaches us that. Lord, do not depart from me until I have told the rising generation of your greatness. Joel, the opening verses of the book of Joel. Joel says to the people of his generation, now don't forget what's happening, so that you can tell it to your children and to your children's children. So old age is seen positively. So this is the Bible's view of what life is about. It isn't this growth, plateau, decline. That's the merely the physical. That's what happens to the body. Because of sin, there is the principle of decay. But what the Bible teaches is that it's a spiral of growth and development. So when you're young, you worship, you have understanding, and you serve. But that's limited because you don't know God and you don't know much. But as you get older, the spiral gets bigger, and you worship with more depth. Your understanding is greater. Your service is richer. And as you come into the last part of your life, the spiral's at its greatest. And you're able to worship God because you proved Him. You have understanding because of all the effects and aspects of life. And you serve in so many different ways. And that's the Bible's view. It's a positive and an honest view. And we have to have that view. So that's where we're coming from. Well, that's where I'm coming from. But old age has its problems and its demand. We must be realistic. I want to quote two very well-known evangelical men who found old age very difficult. John Stott. John Stott said, I knew I had to prepare for eternity. Did you know that, by the way? You have to prepare for eternity. Don't say, oh, it will be all right on the day. You prepare now for the day when you meet with God and for the eternity that awaits us all. He said, I knew I had to prepare for eternity, but no one told me I had to prepare for being old. And he found his last 3 or 4 years very difficult because of the limitations and the frustrations that come as physically we decline and even mentally we lose our powers. And Billy Graham, who has just published a brilliant book called Nearing Home on Old Age. If you're an older person or if you're a younger person who wants to know about old age, get Billy Graham's book, Nearing Home. And I get no commission for doing this. But what he said was this, all my life I was taught how to die as a Christian, but no one ever taught me how I ought to live in the years before I die. It's not easy. And he says there, being old is not for sissies. So if you look down on older people, especially you don't realize that it's far harder to be godly in your last years than it is in your early years. I could prove that from Scripture, but we haven't got time. But this is what the Bible says about growing old. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. And then the psalmist goes on to say, teach us to number our days, to evaluate our days, that we get a heart for wisdom. And then Psalm 39. You may think this is a strange thing to say, but you should pray this prayer at least once a week. As you get older, show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere hand's breadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. If you knew, understood that and believed that, I don't think there's a person in this room who would live as they live. If you recognize that you may not live beyond this evening, you would be infinitely more holy than you are and far more committed to the things of God and far more serious about the word of God and prayer. Well, the psalmist says, your life is exceedingly brief. So, that's the realism of old age. But what is old age? What does it mean to be old? Very quickly, and then we'll come on to the main theme of what we're on about. We classify old age into three sectors, basically because old age now covers anything up to 50 years. So if you think of being 65, there will be people who at the age of 65 will have 40, 45 years to live. And that's going to be more and more the case. If you live to be 65 now, you are more than likely to live into your mid-80s. So you have 20, 25, 30 years. So to help us understand that and what happens in old age, there are what we call the young elderly. That's people like me who've just retired and we're now young again. We used to be old, but now we're young because we're old, but we're young. And we're physically active. Not as active as we used to be, but we're still reasonably active and we can do a lot. Then there are those who are elderly. There's increasing physical limitations and a general feeling of tiredness. And then there's the elderly elderly. That's people into their 80s and 90s where disability, dementia and other terminal illnesses occur. But I thought, you know, I can't be totally positive. So I'll give you something else to just to think on overnight. Of those who are between over 65 and not yet 75, 38% will have a long-standing limiting illness. Those over 75, 50% will have a long-standing limiting illness. Why is that important? If you're going to work with older people, you have to recognize that a significant number of them will have physical problems. That is a difficulty for them, but it's an opportunity for the church. And I'll show you why in just one moment. If you're over 80, now this again is some of the positive, exciting stuff that you need to know. If you're over 80, one in three of you will have a serious hearing loss, if you haven't already got it. One in four will have a significant sight loss, and one in five will experience dementia. Over 80, five into your 90s, one in three will experience dementia. But the worst problem of old age is loneliness. Particularly for those who are frail, particularly for those who are in their later years. That's where I say the church has a phenomenal opportunity to minister to people and to show people the love of Christ. And so, as I say, the psalmist says, teach us to number our days. So how should the church respond to all of this? Well, we've read Galatians 6 and Matthew 25. Does anyone know what Matthew 25 is talking about? Those two verses. Do you know what it's talking about? Anyone tell me? It's about giving a cup of water in the name of the Lord. Basically, it's that. It's just about serving people. And that's what the church is to do. Jesus taught us it. The apostles taught us it. And so the book of Proverbs says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute, speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. This is the duty of the church, biblically. It's what we should be doing. So James writes and puts it in a different way. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And then finally, to show that the Bible has a balance. It isn't an issue of young or old. That's the way our society looks at it. So you emphasize one group over another. The Bible never does that. Proverbs 20:29 is the classic summary of what the Bible teaches. The glory of the young men is their strength, gray hair, the splendor of the old. Now, for some of you who think that that merely means what I've got on the top of my head, I'm afraid it doesn't. Grey hair in the Bible refers to wisdom, experience, that understanding of life which comes through living long. So when God wants to show himself as having wisdom, how does he picture himself? Daniel chapter 7, he is the Ancient of Days. Revelation 1, when Christ appears to John, and he's going to give him that great revelation. He appears as an old man with a long flowing beard. Why? Because that's the Bible's view of old age. that there is wisdom and understanding that is to be respected and honored and responded to. And so the local church has a duty to respond to older people. So I'm going to give you two slides which really sum up all I want to say to you now before we go to our discussion. And the first is looking at the general needs of older people, whether they're Christian or non-Christian. And basically, there are five areas that people need. They don't always know they need these things, but there are five areas that people need. Most older people need practical support. When I worked in Birmingham, I had a team of volunteers, 370-odd volunteers, who gave practical support across the city. Now, that was a secular organization doing a secular service, but it had been set up because it was recognized that older people need areas of practical support. And in an area like this, well, there's all sorts of opportunities. They need activities that interest. One of the things you have to recognize about older people is this: they have a history. Now, that's a great way of relating to people. It's a great way of making contact with people. That's why, working with somebody else, we drew up a schedule for churches of things you could do during Jubilee year. And I know a number of churches that are actually having specific activities focused on older people. And what are they doing? They're just asking people to bring photographs or some memorabilia of the Queen's wedding, coronation. And then they're going to have a display, set it all up, and just get people in and then talk and have a sort of Jubilee meal together. And so make contact with people, because there are things that interest. Now, that means when we're reaching out to people who are elderly, there's more to life than lunch clubs. I'm a great fan of lunch clubs. I go and speak at them from time to time and love doing it. But some older people find lunch clubs a bit patronizing. But there's other ways you can relate to people. And you just have to use imagination. Think about their history. And then in relating to them, work on their history. The generation we're talking about is the last generation that learnt scripture and hymns at school. So if you want to reach out to them, you know, some of the modern songs are great, but they won't know them. But they will know the old rugged cross, and there is a green hill far away. And so you use their history. So, activities that interest. They need understanding and friendship because of loneliness and because they're often not understood. And therefore, there's a great opportunity to get through to people. They need love and care. Now, those are all, in a sense, natural things. The difference is Christians should do those things far better, because we have the love of Christ in us, so we can love and care better than anyone else, can't we? We should be. Everything we should do when it comes to love and care should be of a higher standard, because we have the love of Christ in us. That's what it means to be a Christian. But then there's the fifth area, spiritual life. Non-Christian older people have lived a long time without spiritual life. And that's why they are in such need. Because naturally speaking, they are nearer to eternity than younger people, although we're all only one breath from eternity. But on the generality, people in their 80s are more likely to die than people who are in their teens. So therefore, their need of spiritual life is huge. So it's a responsibility. But what about Christian older people? Oh, sorry, yeah, I forgot to put that in. Just to emphasize this, God has a special interest in old age. Again, I could give you a load of verses, but this one's a lovely one, because God says here, even down to old age, I will carry you. God has a commitment to older people and to old age. And therefore, the church has a great opportunity. And so you remember the early church, the first thing they began to do was to care for those who were deprived, who didn't have the support of family, widows. Often those widows would have been older women. And therefore, it gives us an indication of the sort of things we ought to do. But what about the spiritual needs of older people? Well, again, very quickly, very similar, five things. They need the ministry of God's word. If you're a believer, older Christians need God's word. If they're housebound, then there are things to do. I know a lady who texts five elderly ladies with a verse of scripture every day. What a fabulous little ministry. She sits down 9 o'clock every morning. She sends a text with a verse of scripture to just these little old ladies who've learned how to do texting in their 80s. And they get a word from God through a little old lady who sees her ministry as doing that. But there's all sorts of ways in which you can minister God's word to older people. Fellowship with other people. Both giving and receiving. Older people have things to give and they need to receive. Fellowship is vital. One of the great things of my sadness is when I go to various places and talk to older people, when I work with Age Concern, I used to come across elderly Christians who would say, "Oh, I can't get out anymore." And I would say, "Oh, and how about your church?" "I haven't seen anybody from my church for 18 months. One lady, haven't seen anybody from my church for 5 years. Isn't that terrible? And they call themselves a church. They need encouragement and counsel. Well, that's a big area. I do a whole session on that, talking about the sins of old age, because there are particular sins associated with being old. And older people need to be helped in those areas, and they need encouragement. They need spiritual activity. I'll show you what they can do in a moment. And they need to grow. Because the Apostle Peter, his final word, Peter's final word to Christians was simply this: grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you've got to do. Keep growing. He doesn't say grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ until you're 66, and at the age of 66 you can stop growing. I chose 66 for a very particular reason, which we won't go into, but my birthday's on November the 5th. You see, it's our duty. So Paul, writing to Titus, who's looking after a group of churches that have only just been planted, what do you think his advice would be? What would you tell a young guy who's just beginning to run a church? What would you say you've got to do? Ah, well, Paul says this: teach the old men. And when you've taught the old men, don't forget to teach the old women, because they'll teach the rising generation. If you're anything into business theory, it's an early version of trickle-down theory. Teach those at the top, and it goes down through the whole organization. Paul says, teach the old men, teach the old women, so that they can exercise their ministry amongst the rising generations. And older people need the stimulation, because, as I said, outwardly they're wearing away, but inwardly they're being renewed, says Paul. How are they being renewed? As they think on the things that are not seen. Because the things that are seen, says Paul, are temporal. But the things that are not seen are eternal. What are the things that are not seen? God. Christ. Set your affections on things above, where Christ is seated. Heaven. Eternity. Glory. The blessings of salvation. Think on these things. And older people need to be stimulated in those areas. So I'm nearly at an end. What's older people's special contribution? I'm just going to put this up. You won't have time to copy it down, but you can have a look afterwards if you want. But there's a range of things that old people do in the scriptures, and they do brilliantly. They declare God's mercy. They pray. They set an example. They're good at evangelism. They use wisdom. And they link to glory. But I ought to be finishing, so just three more very quick slides. Just want to say this. Just because in old age people develop dementia, and it's a big issue, the big D as it is now called, and it's the big terror that has replaced cancer as the thing you don't talk about because people are frightened of it. Dementia is a reality. It's a destructive, horrible, devastating illness. If you don't know about it, buy my book and you'll be all right. But no, being very serious. If you're going to work with people with dementia, and you can work with people with dementia, and they can have very powerful spiritual lives and experiences, then there's just five things you need to do. Remember, each person is an individual. Respect that person as an individual and recall their history. So find out about people who've got dementia and what sort of lives they had, because you can use that as triggers, things to help them recall and remember. You care for the whole person, body, mind, soul, and spirit. You encourage independence where they are capable. And often they can still do many things. They should be encouraged to do those things. And you engage in spiritual activities. And there is nothing more exciting, actually, than to go to somebody who is really confused. About a year ago, I went to take a communion service with a group of demented old people. And when I got there, I didn't realize how bad they were going to be. And they were really not very responsive at all. And I went to one old man and I started talking to him. I was getting nowhere. And then I had an idea, and there was a little cross on the table. I gave him the cross. And I said, "What does that mean to you?" He felt it. He said, "A cross." I said, "And what does it mean?" "Jesus died for my sins." And a member of staff was amazed. First words he'd said for several weeks. But it could be cool, because spiritual activity is powerful. And then let's not forget, we have to have... So if you're going to work with them, you need understanding. You need to include and value. As I say, I'm going through these quickly. And they need practical support. And Romans 15 tells us not to look down on people, but to respect them and treat them with honor, whatever their condition. And so that's what we do. And then there's the forgotten group, the carers, people who look after those who have disability or dementing. They have physical demands, they're lonely, they know all sorts of emotional distress, pressures, and spiritual pressures. They are to be looked after. When you're thinking about looking after older people, reaching out to them, don't forget those who look after them, their caregivers. Let me just say, a caregiver is an unpaid person, usually a member of the family. A carer, these days, is viewed as somebody who is paid for what they do. So you have carers who may be employed by the local authority or charities or homes. Caregivers are members of the family or friends who do it voluntarily. Finally, what's the glory of working with older people? Well, it's this. You're preparing them for glory. You're getting them ready for heaven. You can point them to the glories that await. See, old age is not a dead end. Old age is God's waiting room. You know, you're going from this world into something infinitely better. And older people are at the nearest point to heaven. Tremendous. Can't wait to behold. And in heaven, all limitations and disabilities will end. Christ himself is the center of heaven. That's what makes heaven heaven. Where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. And to be able to talk to people about Jesus and heaven is a wonderful thing. And so you can rejoice with them and weep with them, but always look to the glory that awaits. And then when they die, you can remind their families that they've passed from this world of tears into a world of joy if they're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what we look forward to, isn't it? That place of bliss. Do you believe in heaven? What a place. I wish I had time to talk about it. But there we are. I've got through. That's not bad. Not bad. Well, we're going to come now to our discussion. So I'm going to hand over for that. Thank you.
That was really good. I think we could have listened for another half an hour or so, can we really? It was such good stuff flowing, but it's always good to try and ground these things. Otherwise, we're just kind of thinking, wow, that was brilliant, but what does it mean? So we're going to have a time of discussion.